They begin this chapter by saying that, and they call it apologists who emphasize reason, right? So this is, I'm not sure if that's derogatory, meaning nobody else does, right?
They emphasize but, it. It's not the only ones that use it.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. So they say that the classical apologetic tradition has the term classical suggest is the dominant approach to apologetics in church history, especially prior to the modern period. It emphasizes the presentation of Christianity as rational, that is, as logically coherent and supported by sound arguments. And they tell us that it offers what its advocates consider proofs of various types, though especially philosophical proofs for the existence of God as a first step in defending the truth claims of the Christian faith. And so what we'll see here is this is what we have called a two-step approach, right, is where they're headed with this one.
Right. And so our authors do always a good job of kind of laying down some good definitions, which is always appreciated on this show. And so they say that as they're using the terms in this book, classical apologetics also refers to an idealized type that is more or less fully exemplified in an apologist in that tradition. Of necessity, then they'll be using offering generalizations, that is, what we say about apologetics of the idealized type of or approach is generally applicable to apologetics, to apologists in the classical tradition, but one must allow for considerable variations and exceptions. So essentially, here's kind of the general overview of what most classical apologists believe. Some might emphasize one point over the other point, but they would still hold in the same category of classical apologetics. And so, you know, you kind of do this with history because you can't say usually something starts at point A and, you know, that's the start of the war or that's the start of this age. And so you kind of have to allow for variations of ideas and people. It's the same thing when you're talking about, you know, Reformed tradition and Calvinism.
Theses, for instance, right. that was, you know, posted on the door there. That was the start beginning. That's right. Yeah.
on Halloween, of that fateful day, while they were trick-or-treating. Yes. So that's what they're saying here is you know, and I think we started out the book by saying there are some people who lay in a camp that we might say, well, they seem to be more evidentialist than they are classical, or maybe they've even termed themselves as classical, but they're put into the evidential. So our authors are at least acknowledging the fact that they're trying to kind of codify people for the sake of simplicity here. So on other qualification needs to be made is a distinct approach, an explicit methodological stance. Classical apologetics, like the other three basic approaches discussed in the book, is actually a modern development. So, you know, we can't reach back in time and say Jesus termed the term classical apologetics to mean this. And so we're coming at it from kind of what we mean in today's language. And so we're looking back and applying it to these people in history and saying, while there is variation, they probably fit within this camp the most.
Right. Good. Yeah. And so what they tell us then is in this chapter that they're going to examine the roots of classical apologetics, right? Kind of some historical issues there. And then they'll consider briefly the thought of five modern classical apologists. And they consider Norman Geisler as the representative of perhaps the purest form of this approach to apologetics. And so they'll spend some time in two of Geisler's 60 some odd books that he's written.
That's right.